Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, before we get into the podcast today, just wanted to remind you that you can be a member of CinemaSins at Patreon. Join the Sin Club, I think is what we're saying now. Join the Sin Club. And there's lots of fun reasons to do that. Among them, the idea that you get even more bonus podcast amazingness every month, both the SinCast podcast, as well as Behind the Sins podcast, talk about a certain topic picked by you. One of the members, and that comes right into your own personalized podcast feed. Lots of other fun stuff comes with being a member of the Sin Club, so go check it out at Patreon. It's patreon.com/cinemasins, and you can check out all the details there.
Aaron, this movie has gone over this movie has been done before. It was called Highlander.
Welcome to SinCast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by a whole bevy of people to review this movie.
Yeah.
Joined by Barrett Sher from CinemaSins and Music Video Sins. Joined by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
Joined by Aaron Dicer.
Hadley-ho, Cinerinos.
Today, we're going to be reviewing or doing a mini-pod of The Old Guard.
Mini-pod!
Yeah. Mini-pod! I can't think of anything clever.
Movie that came out on Netflix, and was this supposed to come out as well on a theatrical?
No, I believe this was always a Netflix movie.
This was always a Netflix movie. Starring Charlize Theron and directed by Gina Prince Blythewood. Where do we start on this one, huh? Where do we start on this?
Yeah, it's interesting that Gina Prince Blythewood directed this, right? Because this is Love and Basketball and, what was the last one she did? Like Beyond the Mic, something?
Beyond the Lights?
Beyond the Lights, which are two very, very, actually good films, but they're very, very different than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that they're good. Oh, wait. Did I spoil that already?
I think Barrett's champing at the bit, so I think we should...
Yeah, why don't we let Barrett start this off? Because he's angry. He's angry about this.
All right, you tell me, motherfuckers. This thing has a 6.7. I didn't mean you motherfuckers. I meant the listeners. The motherfuckers out in the universe.
Listeners who are motherfuckers.
This has a 6.7 IMDb score. It's not classic, but it's good. It has 82% aggregate Rotten Tomatoes score. Fucking hated this movie. And I don't understand. And I, it's not like Uncut Gems, where I hated that movie, but I understood why people liked that movie. I don't understand how people like this movie. And there are good things to it. I'm not saying that there's not good things to it, but it was just as generic as anything you'd see on Netflix, just flipping through, you know, your browsing section. It was sometimes exactly like Extraction. It was sometimes exactly like, you know, some TV movie of the week. I don't understand the love for this movie. Someone please explain it to me.
No, you know, I'm not quite down in the depths that you are, but I will say I'm really, really tired of seeing this movie. I feel like I've seen this movie 300 times in the last 10 years. This is that generic, like post MCU franchise starter type film and origin story, whatever you want to call it. And it's just, there are good things in it. And I'm sure we'll talk about those, but just overall, the overall movie is just so tired. There was just nothing there that I felt was new or different enough to recommend this on any level.
Chris, you want to go first? Or you want me to go?
You go ahead. You go ahead.
I love this movie. I absolutely had a wonderful time with this movie. I am more than willing to admit some stupidity in this movie. However, I cannot believe we saw the same movie if you're talking about having seen this a million times. There is so much in this movie I've never seen before.
No.
You're probably wondering how I got here
and fucking shit like that.
I think it depends on what you're choosing to focus on. I mean, guys with guns, that could describe Inception. Like, I mean, guys with guns is...
Well, I said gods with guns, but still...
Oh, gods with guns, yeah.
It's basically the same fucking thing.
It's Captain Iron Man 4.
I have not seen a movie internalize the idea of this in the way that I felt it reading... do you remember the book Tuck Everlasting?
Yeah.
That everybody had to read when they were growing up in school? There was a real feeling in that the solemnity and forlornness of eternal life. You know, this idea that, you know, that it's not all it's cracked up to be. I don't think I've seen it dug into in this specific a way and felt it so authentically through the characters, through their relationships, through what they're doing. This is a movie, if nothing else, that builds a world I'm interested in, lays out the rules for that world, the ones that it wants to lay out, and then sticks to those rules. And for me, that's success. Like, you know, because so many movies aren't even able to do that. I also like that the movie doesn't absolutely have to give you all the answers. It leaves some stuff in mystery, which a lot of movies aren't great at too. They want to tell you, you know, they either over-explain or under-explain. And I think this movie explains pretty at the right level for me to really get involved in the world building that's going on here. So I think I was just in. Like, I just really enjoyed the world building.
It's setting up for future movies if they get made. And that's fucking IP has done for the last 10 years.
Yeah, but this isn't IP yet. It's becoming
IP.
No,
it absolutely is. It's based on graphic novels.
Well, sure.
It's 100% IP.
Sure. Well, this Bloodshot's a great thing to bring up because I think this movie does everything right that Bloodshot did wrong. Like, I think there's an element of respect it's giving to its characters that Bloodshot doesn't have. There's an element of understanding what makes its world interesting that Bloodshot doesn't have. So I really was on board with this movie. So
Aaron, this movie has gone over this movie has been done before. It was called Highlander.
Fair enough.
We saw the mundanity of life through
fair enough
through Christopher Lambert in that movie, and then through the three or four sequels and the TV series.
This movie was missing Christopher Lambert. That's a good point. I think that's what this movie was missing.
I will tell you, when we get to spoilers, there are a few scenes I do want to bring up of things I've never seen before, but I don't want to do them here.
Yeah. No, I can see what you're saying about this. I think I disliked this movie for different reasons than Barrett and Jonathan dislike it. And it all comes down to what the plot of this movie is. And we'll get into the spoilers of it. But the plot of this movie is something that I was not down with. Like, at first I was like, I can kind of get into this. I'm like, kind of like enjoying this. And then it got into its plot and its main reason for being. And I was like, yeah, not for this though. Not for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's what ended up being the Achilles heel for me watching this movie. So I may not hate it as much as Barrett. I may be right along the lines of where Jonathan is on disliking it. I'm certainly not in love with it, but yeah, I kind of do want to get into spoilers on this one as soon as I can, but I'm going to give this one a C+.
I'm going to go C-. It's not quite in that D area because I do think it's, you know, it's a watchable movie for the most part. The acting is fine. Like, I love Charlize. I like her in this role. I had never seen, who's the actress that plays Kiki Niles?
Lane? Yeah. Kiki Lane, who's in, Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah. And she's great. And there were these like, and this is what, when I skimmed some reviews of this movie, I found that what most people were talking about was kind of the smaller moments of the movie, like the introspective moments. And some of those I liked, but yeah, just overall, I just felt the whole thing was kind of a waste. And like I said, it just felt like at this point, this shouldn't be a movie coming out in 2020. That was, it felt like a movie that should have come out like in 2010.
Mm. Aaron?
A-. I think I'm right around an A-.
Look at Barrett's disgust and that middle finger coming up.
Look, I mean, you knew I was going to be the ray of sunshine,
hey,
right?
What did like you this, give
I'm
Six
playing my role here.
What did you give Six Underground, Aaron?
Six Underground is a completely different story. Six Underground is an awful movie that I just happened to enjoy watching on my big screen TV.
So you gave it an A.
No, I did not. I certainly did not. I think I gave
this movie's terrible. A.
No, I gave it a C+.
I'm gonna go ahead.
I don't want to be too mean to Six Underground, but I'm gonna give it an A-.
All right. It's not spoilery. I'm going to tell you just a couple things that I liked about this movie and then why I'm giving it a D+ is because there's one relationship in this movie that rings so authentic that it almost saved the movie for me, but they wasted it. There's also a Chiwetel Ejiofor that shows up in this movie. And they fucking waste him, too.
I have so much to say about that character.
So because of the wasted characters and the wasted potential, I think it's even worse of a grade. So I think it's a D for me. Otherwise, it would have been right in the C range because, like you said, it is not unwatchable. It does, for all the holes that it has in the plot, it does have a plot. It's got Charlize, who always brings it. And when she kicks ass, that's awesome. But for the wasted potential here, fuck this movie.
if they do a sequel though, I'll totally watch it. I think there's potential here for something.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into spoilers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
No spoilers! Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
He's Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
They just
No. I'm reading the books.
Sort of went into this not knowing any. I didn't see any trailers for this or anything. Somebody just said, "Hey, watch Old Guard," and I was like, "Okay, let's do it." And so I did not know that this was about a bunch of Highlanders, but the thing about this movie, I was alluding to it in non-spoilers. I don't like the plot of the scientist who has figured out that there are immortals and he wants to create and synthesize his own shit. And that is what the entire plot of this movie is. And we don't get to see these people kicking ass in their own element and like, let's just make this another adventure, guys. If it was just another adventure in the long, moments of their lives, and it's just, oh, they have to save the children or whatever that got kidnapped, which we find out, children weren't kidnapped after all. It might have been like somewhat decent if they were actually going through like that adventure and everything, but instead, no, it's Chiwetel Ejiofor has been hired by this scientist guy. He's like Chiwetel Ejiofor basically plays the reporter from the Hulk, right? The guy who's like, he knows, he's seen pictures. I don't know how he started this research and where he began. Like that's the thing that I always wanted.
He's got a computer.
He changes his feet. Like he changes his beliefs and his reasoning like 5 times in the movie. Like he kind of becomes that character, whatever the movie needs him to be in that moment in time. That's why I hated that character. He gives a really good performance just because he's always awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just such a poorly written character. But anyways, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated when I see bulletin boards full of like newspaper articles and pictures and everything. I'm like, where did this start, man? When were you the first time you were like, I think there's some motherfuckers who are immortal out there? Like, when were you?
Back to like 1915 too. So like, yeah, I know photography wasn't around much before that, but like stories, newspaper clippings, anything like that. No, it only goes back that far.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was just kind of like, man, if it had been almost any other story than the one that they came up with, I might've been a B+, A- type movie for me, but not this time. And everything about that plot just completely drags it down for me.
And here's the thing this is a great point to jump off on that. I don't want to criticize the movie for what it's not, but this movie fucking introduces a woman who has been buried at the bottom of the goddamn ocean for 500 years.
Yeah.
That is your villain. Like
dying and coming back.
Can you imagine how batshit insane that person would? I mean, that's where I thought it was going, and then it just goes to no. It's going to be Dudley from Harry Potter.
It's going to be the fucking pharma bro. Tell me who's the difference. What's the difference between the pharma bro in this and fucking Guy Pearce in Bloodshot? You can't. It's the same fucking character.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
One has a hoodie. One has a hoodie on the back of his weird fucking blazer.
Yeah, and there is like the most obvious stinger ever pops up where you do see that woman is back, and I'm sure that's what the next movie would be about. But now she's like all made up and looks like she just got off an L fashion shoot or something. Like I want the mad crazy 500-year-old witch coming out of the water.
Yeah, all like Cara Delevingne in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I agree 100% with everything said about the villain in this movie. He's awful. He is easily the worst part of this movie. And because the movie is ostensibly about that plot, like that's the structure of our plot, is he's trying to catch them, they're trying to escape him. I can understand completely how that would fall apart, you know, for you, because that plot is nothing to me. I'm just here to tell you that plot was secondary to me watching this movie. The movie that I watched and enjoyed was about this family, was about this the relationships between these people, the depth of those relationships. It was about a new birth. It was about Kiki's character and trying to figure out what this was about. I thought the exposition in this movie was handled extremely well because of that, because we were able to see those conversations. That conversation, we are in spoilers, right? I didn't miss that. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That conversation in the plane, that whole scene was perfect for me. I loved the way they talked to each other. I loved that Kiki's character didn't just buy in immediately, but, you know, tried her best to take care of it. I love the interaction with the pilot, how it was solved. I love that fight scene. I love their conversation about God, about, oh, you still believe in God, huh? Like that was really interesting to me, because there's this theme of mystery in this movie that I don't often see in movies like this, where it's about, yeah, I've been around 2,000 years and I still don't have it all figured out. Like, I'm not invincible. I'm not omniscient, is the better way to say that. I'm not omniscient. I've just been around 2,000 years, so I'm more mature. I have, you know, a lot more knowledge than you do, but I still don't understand why we lose our abilities at some point. Like, that's never explained. There's no real reason given for that. And so there's really kind of this beautiful idea of the extension of what humanity really is that I find in that family of characters. And I just really felt it. So for me, I was so focused in on that, that I was able just to kind of throw away the entire That's plot like, of the movie.
That's like 5 minutes of the movie.
I mean, it's really not. I'm telling you, it's really not. If you go back and watch this movie with the perspective of watching that group of people hang out, and like, there are scenes throughout. You mentioned the love scene. I'm not love scene. That makes it sound like a sex scene, but the proclamation of love that happens when those two Great characters scene. Are trapped.
Yeah.
One of the most incredible proclamations of love I have ever seen in a movie, bar none. And it's made even better by the fact that it's a gay couple that's making it. Like, it's one of those things where it says something about toxic masculinity that movies have tried to say forever. And it just captures it, you know, because there's an idea going on in that scene that most movies aren't brave enough to do, where it's like the thing the guy does is something that's very common. That whole like, what is he, your boyfriend, you know, kind of thing. It's not, I hate gays. It's just, you know, just kind of an offhanded joke, toxic masculinity thing. And because that's the incitement to that speech, I just think makes it even all the better. I loved that scene, and I loved a lot of those scenes.
No, that was a nice scene, but it was a little overwritten. But it was a nice scene. I liked how the guards actually reacted to him too. I thought that was interesting, like the way they chose to go about that. No, that was a cool scene. Actually, my favorite little bit was right after that, when they get to the airport and they open the doors and they've killed everybody.
it's not even referenced. It's just they walk off.
Yeah. And then they're just like, hey, you guys want to take the restraints off any chance? You know, it's just like the way they're having that conversation. And then they get on the plane and the guy's like, hey Joe, they got TV.
Yeah.
You know, just little, like at that moment I was like, okay, this is fun, but like I said, but it's like little bits here and there, but it ends up being like 15-20 minutes of the movie, and it's a 2-hour movie. I mean, there's like an hour and 40 minutes of garbage.
Am I the only one that enjoyed the action? I thought the action was well shot.
I mean, the action was pretty generic. I didn't think it was anything interesting.
It was better.
It wasn't atrocious. It wasn't atrocious. Yeah, like you could sort of see what was going on and everything. But there wasn't anything in there that made me jump out of my seat or you know, went like, oh yeah, man, that was really well done or anything.
Yeah,
I don't think
there's going to be a moment from that movie that I take, like an action moment like I do like from like, say, Extraction, you know, where you have that big action scene. I don't think there's a moment like that in this. And I also don't think this movie is too concerned with the action like Aaron is saying. But it still tries to be, but at the same time, it still has to, it kind of forces itself to be that movie because they're setting up all this, so much plot.
Okay. Can I ask another question about Niall? So many things I don't get about Niall. I like her performance, by the way. I think it's from start to finish. That scene where they're going into the raid, where she's like, keep it respectful and everything. And she, very realistic, very cool. Okay, everything after that, I don't like, because she's cut in the neck, they stitch her up, and then they take it off and there's nothing there. She is thereby shunned from her entire fucking platoon just for having a mark that healed that they know nothing about. They don't know how deep that shit is. They don't know like what they were using for it. But she is ostracized immediately.
I hated this too. The in Highlander it made sense because they're in a far away ago time when they believe in witches and fairies and goblins and shit. And and so when he dies and comes back to life, people are like, oh, he's like the fucking devil, right? And now we're in the modern times. And if I had a friend who like got sliced in the throat and came back, I would be like, oh, I'm so happy that you're back. And holy shit, you must be a superhero. Can I be your best friend? There's so many things that I would say out of love to that person.
Oh my God.
But not these people. They're all like, oh my God, she survived that.
They're packing her bags and witch. Shit. Oh my God. Okay. And even with that said, then once Charlize captures her, she tests this theory out by blowing her in the fucking the head, and then she hits her in the head, and she seriously said, "We don't know when our powers can go."
bring that up though.
Yeah, she says you're too.
He's like, "Yeah, okay."
They
she knew.
Manufacture a rule later. Where she's like, "If you knew that I could die, then how could you do that?" Well, people who are young, it doesn't really happen to them, even though they've got a sample size of like 7 people.
And one is buried at the bottom of the ocean, as far as they know. May or may not be alive.
Yeah.
Oh my exactly. God. No. This is where plot informs character, and character is not believable.
But what if
the plot screws the whole fucking thing up, man?
But what if? What if that is a statement about Charlize character's disregard for the idea of life and death anyway? Like, if Niles hadn't come back, are we to assume Charlize would be upset about that? Like,
yes,
what if that
she went
is
all the way over to fucking Afghanistan to go get her?
I think there's an element to that character. I think that actually is character development in what I'm talking about, of the authenticity of this world, of the idea that life and death means nothing to them. In fact, for them, many times, death would be preferable. They understand even more than ever that, you know, death isn't, you know, always a bad thing. It could be a good thing. There is an element of nonchalance about shooting her in the head that I think is character development. And yes, they do manufacture an idea that she probably knew she was coming back, but I do think that's a character beat.
That is true. There's a lot of discussion in this movie about how it seems like she's brought up the idea that maybe we should end all of this. Maybe it's not natural for us to be, well, of course it's not natural, but maybe it's not good for us to be living this long, across millennia and everything. That's how Booker sort of, justifies his actions when he betrays them and everything. Is that, maybe he can find a way to end this. Isn't this something that you've been looking for this whole time? So there is a part of that in there, but yeah, I don't know what to feel about that scene, really.
I really do think, like with many things, it's a matter of perspective, right? And we all come to it with different lenses, different histories, different ideas. This is the beauty of what we do, is that Barrett can hate something and I can love something, in another movie I can hate and Barrett can love, that's mm-hmm. kind of the beauty of this whole thing.
Seems like it happens often.
Yeah. Yes. Barrett
Aaron
and I, in general,
like
it is the rarity
of a movie and given an A-.
It is the rarity when Barrett and I are on the same page about a movie. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I agree.
You both liked Midsommar.
We did. We both liked Midsommar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the only one I can think of.
It's the only one that exists. That's
maybe
only
Mission Impossible sequels.
Yeah, right.
Aaron's the only one that I know that puts out a 10 worst, and it somehow overlaps his 10 best.
Listen, my bell curve is sound. I check my bell curve on my ratings every year. It's sound.
Okay. All right. I believe you. I believe you. What else to say about this movie, really?
I don't know. I'm echoing Jonathan's comment about seeing this a million times. I got fucking Viper, Venom, confused with this. Like all the lab stuff at the end, all them tied down to the beds, not even like struggling. They're just like, oh, well, I guess we're screwed. It's been 2,000 years for me, but it's been, you know, only 150 years for me. But okay. And then, you know, her coming in and saving the day, like Mission Impossible stuff. Like there's so many movies crammed into one. And I swear to God, if I see happen in Extraction again, the how did I get here type of thing with the narration in a movie that's trying, purporting to be better, it's going to drive me fucking insane. Don't they know better at this point? Or well, is it demanded from the studio?
This movie would be so much better too without that at the beginning, because that's supposed to be a big reveal, you know.
Same like, in Extraction, right?
Yeah, that's supposed to be a big reveal, and the reason why that's done a lot of times is because they know they have about 10 to 15 minutes of bullshit that people aren't, they're not sure that it's going to wrap people up quickly, and that people will walk out when it's boring or whatever. But like in this one, they got into the action pretty quickly. So I don't know why they decided to do that this time.
At least they wrap it up in the first 10 minutes, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something like Extraction where it's the very last scene of the movie.
Yeah, but it's almost even more pointless, though, right? Because they started
I agree.
Yeah, they started off and then like immediately like, oh, by the way, this is what this was about.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. It's more pointless, but probably less painful. It's more painful when they do it like Extraction and you ruin all the tension of the entire movie. But it is more pointless when they do it that quickly. No, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I would like to talk about Niles. Is it Niles or Nile? I can't remember.
It's Nile. Well, it's interesting because the main character in Palm Springs is Niles. So I was getting confused too.
Oh, but that's funny.
This is just Nile.
So Nile at the end, when she does go, like, and I like that little bit too, where she figures out that one of them's been betraying them the whole time. And I mean, that was kind of a nice moment, and it made sense why she would get involved again in it. But she seemed to have really mastered like a lot of stuff about her, because they don't really have abilities, right? They can just live.
Correct.
Like they're not stronger. They're not, you know, but like she takes like a bunch of bullets to the chest, and then just, I guess she just knows that she's going to get back up in like 3 seconds, you know?
Yeah, I think that's all right. She's a Marine, and you know, she's been on raids and stuff like that. That all makes sense.
But I mean, I don't know. It's just like, and I never could figure out like, cause I mean, and I thought it was more of a process of like, they had to reheal a little bit before they just jumped right back up. But she's like playing dead basically. I don't know. That whole thing was just kind of bizarre. Speaking of playing dead, that's what they use at the end, right? That's the little trick at the end. Mm-hmm. With the,
yeah. Do you speak Russian?
Yeah. Do you speak Russian?
Yeah.
And yeah, because they had to like, oh my God, that's another thing. Like they had to like, they got like outmaneuvered by fucking Dudley.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
You see, Jonathan, though, the thing is that he was Dudley in another film franchise. He wasn't Dudley in this movie.
I don't think he knew.
I know, but can you think of anything else to call him other than Dudley? No, what is he? He's like Merrick or something, I think is his name in this.
Yeah, Merrick.
Yeah.
No, but that was really weird too, because I saw him and I was like, God, I recognize this person. I cannot figure out who this is. And then I look it up and saw it was Dudley. I'm like, oh yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Okay. One other thing I want to say that I liked is the consequences of the betrayal. I really liked the way that scene was handled at the end. This is another one of those character family kind of moments where they have so much history together that they know there has to be a consequence and they have to agree on what that is. And you can feel like the 100-year sentence, you know, kind of thing in their conversation. And they also have that nice aside about, you know, Nile saying, hey, let's just forgive him and let him back in. And it's, you know, like, kids, you know, like there's this kind of.
Oh, also, they do it at like over like Sam Adams at a Chili's.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't sit down and have like a council or anything like
that. Yeah. Do you want like an evil layer or a hero's layer where they have a round table?
They're talking like they're getting served by waitresses, blue moons with oranges and shit like that.
That's great.
And you're like, hey, hang on 1 second. We're deciding the next 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
I would think like a better, worse fate. Couldn't they like been like, okay, we're going to chop your head off 30 times.
Yeah, exactly.
With a butter knife.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's That's that'll do it for this mini pod. Obviously, Aaron is wrong, and the other three people are right. I think you guys sensed that during the mini pod. I don't have to say that, but I just figured I'd point it out.
He was right about 20 minutes of the movie. Yeah, I mean that was 20 minutes, man. They were quality.
It's very true. But anyway, what did you guys think of The Old Guard? Go to CinemaSins. Go to SinCast, presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. Go to CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on Discord. Hey, if you want to get on Discord, you can go to our Reddit page. On the right side, there's a link there you can click on. Or you can go to the Facebook page and private message me, and I'll give you a link there. Where can everybody find you, fine fellows?
Aaron and I do a podcast every week with Danae Hughes called Behind the Sins, and you can find both of us on Twitter. Just we're on there doing our thing.
Mm. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron Dicer. I'll also throw a plug for Sift Pop in there, SIFTPOP. It's a weekly pop culture podcast where last week we had a guest on, and the three of us all liked The Old Guard. So if you want to listen to a couple other people who enjoyed it, you can check that out.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson, Barrett Scherer, Jonathan Watkins, and Aaron Dicer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.